Thank you for that introduction. As you said, I'm Todd Spivey from North Carolina State University, and I'm going to talk a little bit today about using increased agronomic inputs on cotton development and yield across both the Mid-South and Southeast Cotton Belt. So industry continues to introduce new varieties with increasing yield potentials, and growers are often pressured to use increased inputs for plant health reasons. Growers' use of additional inputs, however, is most often dependent on the economics of the input, regardless of best management practices. But with these increasing yield potentials, it is important to determine the value of additional inputs used in intensively managed cotton. So along with cooperators across the Cotton Belt, we put a study together with our control being the base extension recommendations for each state. Each additional input listed here all begins with those base extension recommendations, with the only difference being the input in question. So going through these briefly, 150% soil fertility, this is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium at a 1.5x rate of the soil test recommendations. Our N4A fungicide, mefenoxam at 106 milliliters per hectare, N4A. N4A insecticide was imidacloprid at 672 milliliters per hectare N4A. Our early season foliar fungicide, we put out azoxystrobin, applied twice, first at 438 milliliters per hectare at the 3 to 4 leaf stage, followed by 584 milliliters per hectare at match head square. We have a late season foliar potassium fertilizer using potassium nitrate, put out at a total of 56 kilograms per hectare. That was put out at 11.2 kilograms per hectare for 5 applications beginning at first bloom and weekly through the following 5 weeks. And then what we call our kitchen sink treatment is a combination of inputs 2 through 6 all together on top of the extension recommendations. So to briefly go through these individually along with North Carolina's extension recommendations for each of these treatments. Beginning with the extension recommendations, this were the individual recommendations by each state, including fertilizer at soil test recommended rates, disease and pest control only at thresholds. Looking at our 150% fertilizer, again, this is a 1.5x rate of the soil test recommendations. In North Carolina, our recommendations on nitrogen are to be put out according to soil texture, previous crop, expected rainfall versus irrigation, as well as grower experience in this particular field. We do know, however, cotton requires about 65 kilograms per hectare per bale. Phosphorus is to be put out at soil test recommended rates, requiring about 35 kilograms of P2O5 per hectare per bale, and potassium as well being put out at soil test recommended rates, with cotton requiring about 55 kilograms per hectare per bale. Our N4A fungicide, mefenoxam, put out at 106 milliliters per hectare, put N4A. North Carolina recommendations for this treatment include in a field with a history of moderate to severe seedling disease, use of low quality seed, unfavorable weather conditions for germination, cool, wet conditions, or in reduced and no-till situations. Our N4A insecticide, we use imidacloprid at 672 milliliters per hectare. Now, we are aware across the Mid-South there are some resistance issues with the neonics. In the Southeast, however, our populations do fall into a range of susceptibility to the neonics. So this treatment in the Southeast and North Carolina especially, this would probably actually fall into our normal extension recommendations, but the majority of growers still using this treatment. At the time we began the study, however, it wasn't a part of our recommendations, so it is included in this study. Early season foliar fungicide, again, that's azoxystrobin, applied twice in the early season. And in North Carolina, to combat leaf spots and boll rots, our recommendations generally include best management practices to minimize rank growth, and we actually don't have specific control recommendations for leaf spots or boll rots. The foliar fertilizer, again, this is a foliar potassium application, put out with a total of 56 kilograms per hectare of product. In North Carolina, we don't recommend this application unless potassium was not applied according to the soil test at the beginning of the season, or if deficiencies show up at or before first bloom. In North Carolina, we don't have any data showing an increase in yields from a foliar potassium application if that deficiency occurs after bloom. And then again, the kitchen sink is just a combination of these inputs that I've just listed here, 2 through 6. So the objective of this study was to evaluate these inputs used in cotton production systems on early season growth and development compared back to our current extension recommendations, as well as to determine any yield and economic gain from these inputs compared to, again, our extension recommendations. So this study was put out in 4 states across the Cotton Belt. I'm going to be presenting data today from Missouri from 2014 and 16, Mississippi from 2016, North Carolina from 2014 through 2016, and Virginia 2014 through 2016. We had 2 planting dates included, an early and a late. The early planting dates ranging from May 1st through May 24th, and the late planting dates ranging from May 23rd all the way through June 10th. Because of the way the study was designed, the planting dates will be shown separately for all the data that I'll be showing you today. Our plots were 12 meters in length, 4 rows, and we used Phytogen variety 499. We did collect plant population data, thrips injury rating at 3 weeks after planting, plant height at 5 weeks after planting, and cotton was harvested in the fall from the 2 center rows. All the data I will be showing today will be separated using Danae's procedure, and this statistical procedure compares each agronomic input back to the extension recommendation, so they won't all be compared together. Each one will be compared only to the extension recommendations. There was a fair amount of data that I'm not going to present today, including additional plant height measurements at varying growth stages, maturity data including white flower counts, those above crack bowl, and note of first and uppermost harvestable fruiting branch. And the reason being is I'm only going to show data today that we have at least 8 of the 9 environments that I mentioned earlier. I'm only going to be showing data where we have at least 8 of those 9 environments. So this other data we have for a few environments here and there, but I'm only going to be showing that which we have 8 of 9 environments. So jumping into the results here, plant population pulled across location and year, shown here, early planting and late planting. We saw no difference with additional agronomic inputs at either the early or late planting, again, pulled across location and years. Thrips injury rating, this is only shown for the early planting date. As I mentioned in the Mid-South, we are aware of resistance issues to the neonics. So as expected in Missouri and Mississippi, we did not see an effect due to the Infer insecticide as far as thrips injury. In the Southeast, however, North Carolina and Virginia, we do see that the Infer insecticide did reduce thrips injury compared to the current extension recommendations. And as I mentioned earlier, this Infer insecticide at this point in North Carolina is part of our extension recommendations. Plant height at 5 weeks after planting, again, pulled across location and year, shown by planting date here. We do see the late planting tended to have a little increased heights compared to the first, just an observation there, but within each planting date, we did not see any increased plant heights because of additional agronomic inputs. And finally, looking at cotton lint yields, both early planted and late planted. This was pulled across location and year without any interactions. And again, we see no differences due to any of the additional agronomic inputs at either of these planting dates. So that being said, the biggest thing with all of this, and especially when we're talking to growers, is the economics of this. A lot of growers want to see return on their cost of inputs. So we'll see our inputs going on the left-hand column, just like the rest of the tables. But that second column here shows our cost per hectare of the product in the treatment only. This does not include application costs. It only includes the cost of the treatment itself. The right-hand column, you'll see break-even lint gain in kilograms per hectare. And this is the amount of lint that it would require to recoup the cost of the individual inputs. This is based on $1.54 per kilogram cotton or 70-cent cotton. Again, the Infura fungicide and Infura insecticide, they do have the lowest amount of lint gain to recoup that cost, but without any increase in yields from any of the treatments, in fact, none of the treatments would be able to recoup the cost of that additional input. So to pull all this back together, when pulled across all locations and years, neither plant population nor plant height at 5 weeks after planting were increased by additional inputs compared to our current extension recommendations. In both North Carolina and Virginia, imidacloprid Infura did reduce thrips injury at 3 weeks after planting, as was expected, as it is part of our current extension recommendations, but we did not see these differences in the Mid-South due to the resistance issues to the neonics. No agronomic inputs increased our yields compared to current extension recommendations as shown. And this is the point where we will tell our growers, each of these agronomic inputs that we included in this study are extension recommended practices, but they're only extension recommended practices under certain circumstances. They should not be applied as a blanket agronomic treatment across the board year to year. So these sources were used in gathering some information for this presentation. And I do need to thank our cooperators across the Cotton Belt. I was very fortunate to step into this project with several of the cotton specialists across the Cotton Belt, our local research station staff, our technician, as well as my graduate committee. So with that, I will be glad to take any questions that you have. Well, so the question was, would the economics change in an intensively managed system with reduced insect thresholds? And to answer that question, I believe it would a little bit, but as far as what we included in this test, the insecticide Infura was only meant for our early season our insect issues. We didn't really look at Lygus or stink bugs or bollworms or later in the season. So as far as that goes, I'm not sure. I still think it's important, though, that and the point of all this to get at the point of all this was that without following these extension recommendations is really what we're getting at. Using these thresholds, and yes, the economics would change if we're lowering those thresholds, but still that would prove the point of getting to that threshold. And I guess that's the whole point behind the study. Thank you for your time.